Can I ask you a bit about character? Because you make the argument in the book that in terms of sort of success in life, intelligence as measured by IQ or even skills aren't nearly as important to our happiness and our overall success, really, as this thing we call character, this sort of set of dispositions, sort of virtues. And you also suggest that you think character in a way has become more important in our present societies, and the people who have sort of got strength of character do much better than those that don't. I mean, perhaps just talk a bit about both what you mean by character and why you think it has become more important
Right.
in today's
Well, IQ
society.
explains about 25% of the variation in job performance. So IQ is not unimportant, but 75% is explained by something else. And we live in a much more open world where there are many more career options, many unstructured activities. Social life is certainly much freer and unstructured. And so one of the skills that one requires is the ability to navigate this world and to read it perceptively, and then to act in a very flexible and open world, and to act in a world where ideas are coming at you with great complication, and a variety of people are coming at you with great complication. And so, do you.
And where there's lots of temptation as well.
And then when there's lots of temptation. And so, the ability to read the world, and then to direct yourself in the world, and to control your impulses, and to read other people's emotions. These things are by far the most important thing as you navigate a social environment. And so we call that character really without having a very clear sense of what that is. And I do think the among the people who we come to doubt from the research, some of the Victorians we have to doubt, because their conception of character is we should see a temptation and then we should use this iron thing called willpower to resist it. Which is almost like a dam resisting a river.
Right.
And I think the research shows that we really don't have the power to control ourselves that way, in that rational, conscious way. And that Aristotle had a better view of character, which is that if you surround yourself with habits and with rules of etiquette and structures in your life, then that behavior grooves things in your mind. And when the big temptations come along, you'll find it more easily to resist. And so the way you if you do the daily acts of kindness, the daily acts of self-control, when the big Dominique Strauss-Kahn type temptations come along, you will have grooved your brain to really resist those temptations and to behave in ways that would make you proud. And so it's really one of the theses of, I think, a lot of the research is change your behavior to change your mind. As the folks at Alcoholics Anonymous say it, fake it till you make it.
What for you are the main policy implications? If you were to take character seriously and look at maybe the policy challenges through the sort of lens of sort of character, what would that mean for public policy, for the way we govern?
Right. Well, you know, here in the UK, I think David Cameron, with the big society idea, which is sort of a political damp squid, but which I think is actually being enacted, I'm not sure it's completely in line with the research, but it's further along than anybody else I've seen in the world. And so a lot of it is structuring the environment to encourage human capital. And so when we think about human capital, the easiest things to think about are teaching reading and math. But the skills I talked about, the ability to read the environment, the ability to establish social connections, to learn from other people, these are skills developed in the context of close relationships. And so I think for government, if they really want to develop public policy, that means early childhood education, it means nurse family visits to coach parents, it means mentoring programs. There's no one thing that's going to do it, but it means surrounding people in relationships and structures and institutions, which will mean they live their lives in really dense social networks. And the emphasis on society and social networks is the thing I like about what the Tories are trying to do. But they always do it right as a different matter. But I think it's moving beyond the homo classicus economicus view that all you have to do is get the incentives right and people will behave correctly. That's not true. I often talk to American politicians and leaders and try to get them to think about these things, and they nod in a patronizing way, but they don't fully take it seriously. And so even though the research, say, for early childhood education is extremely strong, it gets very little funding. And when it comes time for cutbacks, it's the first to be cut back.
Right.
Some of the other things that are quickly cut back are music and art education, even though from the research, and I talk about in the book, the importance of educating the emotions, which we do through art and music, is tremendously important. And so a lot, one of the themes of the book is that the things that seem squishy and soft are actually hard and practical. But it's hard to get politicians to understand that.
That's wonderful. I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you very much.